Welcome, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. Proudly brought to you by our friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Rapids. 3:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. I am joined by my partner in sports, Randy Paul.
Good afternoon, James and everyone.
Good to have you with us, Randy.
Great to be here.
We have got the phone lines wide open, 715-424-2600. Feel free to call up and join the conversation. At 3:30, we're going to have our segment with Coach Peckham, GM and head coach for your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings. He's going to be joining us on a more regular basis, every other week, every month, you know, something like that, especially with the hockey season kicking off for our USPHL River Kings. But I'm going to take a call here, but I got to be honest with everybody. I don't know how we're going to fill the time today, everyone.
Should be interesting.
I don't know what we're going to talk about today. I do actually want to thank Jeff Rosen and Jeff Passan and many of the great reporters out there breaking this news like an hour before we go on the air. Thank you so much for doing that. That was awesome. We have to hit on this real quick before we take to the caller. Of course, what we're referring to is the Chicago Cubs have fired their current manager, their current manager, David Ross, and hired Milwaukee Brewers former manager Craig Counsell as his successor. Counsell's contract is for 5 years and $40 million, the highest salary for any MLB manager ever. This is according, again, to The Athletic and being reported on by Jeff Passan and company. Randy, I want to get your thoughts on this. Let's go, of course, to the most important opinion about this, our callers. You're on the air. What's on your mind?
I just want to tell everybody that Milwaukee Brewer fans, just step away from the ledge.
Yes,
it kind of, to me, it's just like, you know, another guy, you know, like say Brett Favre wanting to get traded to the Vikings, you know, to stick it to the Packers. I just think, you know, I've listened to the reports when it broke at 1:30 or whenever it was, you know, nobody in the front office at Milwaukee had a clue what was going on. This is how tight-lipped that this whole thing was.
Yeah.
When you're listening to the talking heads, they're all like, we never knew this was even on the radar.
Yeah. Whether it's reporters or insiders or other MLB managers, nobody seemed to know this was on the radar.
Yeah, you know, $3 million difference from what the Brewers actually offered Counsell than what the Cubs did. They sit there and say there was no differences between Counsell and the front office, but really?
Well,
don't be like Red China and keep everything in. There was some issues because I just can't see Chris. Craig Counsell was kind of a through and through Brewer. He grew up watching the Brewers. He played for the Brewers. He really didn't show any interest of really liking the Cubs when he was the manager.
Mm-hmm.
There's too many underlying issues here.
It definitely didn't come down to the money. I think we can fairly say that, even though he did sign the biggest contract in MLB. I don't see this as he's going to do that opening press conference in those Cubs colors, and it's the first things out of his mouth. I mean, how could I say no to that contract? Did you guys see that? It didn't come down to that, that's for sure. As late as last night around 2 in the morning, and as early this morning as around 6:30, the reports were all said and done that he was going to be a New York Met manager. I know that because I was looking at the very latest data, very latest reporting on this subject for Playmakers today. I actually asked Seth to join Randy and I so we could kind of kick off talk. I wanted to talk a little baseball while we still can before football takes over completely and get into a little bit of who the manager might be if Counsell does sign with New York and who, you know, the Ohtani situation, all this stuff. That's where I thought we were going to go with the first 5-10 minutes of the show today. As my Nana would tell you, you want to make God laugh, make plans. That's how you do it. That's what I did today is make God laugh. And all of us did, really. But nobody is laughing in Milwaukee. And that's the part that I really want to get to in this conversation. I know that it's shocking. I know it's weird. It's not just the Milwaukee end of this where he is a Wisconsinite. He's born in Indiana, but a Wisconsinite. I mean, you know, he spent enough time here where it's pretty set. And we all understand the rivalry. The two biggest rivalries that both these teams have is each other. It's also the Cubs didn't even give, like, the Cubs are not an organization that does this. they don't just fire people, and they don't just do it, you know, to they don't let people go without them knowing about it. David Ross is not just any manager. This guy caught the World Series for this team, and not too long ago. So for them to do this, to X that guy, to kill that relationship, like the way they just did, and then to not only do that, but then to like just throw ahead, okay, we got a fire lit. Let's throw some gasoline on that. And who are we replacing you with? I mean, a guy who Craig Counsell could win a World Series with the Cubs, and he's going to go into the, if he went into the Hall of Fame, maybe as a Brewer. Like, you're never going to look at Craig Counsell and think of him as a Cub. I don't care if he spends 20 years there. That's not going to happen. So there's a lot of layers to this. I want to get to who's going to replace Counsell, though. I want to make sure that we wrap up there. So as long as we don't get too in the weeds. Because this is a crazy situation. Nobody had this one. I want to continue to take some calls, too, on this one. Did you have any other thoughts on this, man?
Well, it's just like, I mean, even if, let's say, if, you know, they had this contract deal, they're doing it somehow underground, because, like I said, nobody had a clue what was going on.
Yeah.
What would have happened if Counsell turned down the Cubs?
Well,
they keep David Ross, but somehow it gets leaked that they offered the job before even firing Ross. And then Counsell turned. I mean, how does that look to David Ross?
Oh, it would look horrible. But I honestly,
this ownership of the Cubs has just pretty much put a black eye on themselves because of what, you know, what could happen.
Yeah, but it's not like David Ross won the World Series as a manager, and he hasn't been a good manager for the whole time he's been there. I actually don't think that's the case. Especially winning cures everything. I am not saying this as a Cub guy. I'm a White Sox guy, for just to get that out there. You put my dad on the air, it might be a little bit different. When it comes to that organization and the way that they've been running things, they've burned a lot more bridges than David Ross. Like I don't think that that even gets in the top 10 for that team with the way they have managed that team and the way that they have kind of treated a lot of the local businesses and around Wrigley, the way they have kind of stiff armed a lot of the tax laws around there and everything. I don't know about that, especially like in business wise. This makes perfect sense. Craig Counsell's a great manager. If I have to, I don't have to remind this fan base or anything. He won 3 NL Central titles and managed Milwaukee to postseason 5 out of the past 6 seasons. A division winning 92-70 mark in 23. I mean, great year, great coach, great manager. We all get that. And David Ross has not been producing as a manager with a team with a lot of young talent on that team in Chicago. So it makes sense on paper. Emotionally, it makes no sense whatsoever. It's so weird that that happens. It's usually the other way around.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of the take. It kind of took the thunder out of the Packers actually winning yesterday. I don't know. But then if you look at what you're saying, what they're looking at for possible replacements, there was the one talk show I was listening to, they were saying there's a guy that's, I think is in Tennessee, or Biloxi, one of those two places.
Yeah.
Shaw is the coach.
Mm-hmm.
There's talk that he may, because he's a lot of these kids that are with the Brewers, he's coached, so he knows how to coach these guys. Gabe Kapler, his name has been kind of thrown around. And there's a few other former Brewers that are out there.
I got a wild card I want to throw out there. And actually, it's not even mine. I want to give my partner in sound, Seth Habhager, the credit on this one. Joe Maddon.
No.
Why not? I mean, it's almost, first off, emotionally, it'd be hilarious. The guy that won a World Series for the Chicago Cubs comes to coach the Brewers after, the emotional angle and the storyline angle, all of us are eating that pie. We're all eating that up. But as far as a manager goes, Joe Maddon has proven himself as a good manager. Don't give me the whole California Angels thing as an example of him not being a good manager. Miss me with that. Look, I refer to Tampa Bay. I refer to Chicago. I will refer to his minor league stints. Joe Maddon is a dang good manager, and any organization I think would be lucky to have him. What is interesting is nobody's calling him. I think that's a little more interesting.
I think sometimes though he brings the circus though.
Oh yeah, but that's what they love, these young players. look at what you can't do if you're Milwaukee. You can't bring in a fossil. You can't, and by a fossil, I mean anybody 50 and above. And I'm joking when I say that, but look at what's happened recently. Like, the guys that work, like a Dusty Baker or a you know, a Bruce Bode or whatever, there's not a huge age difference between those guys and Tony La Russa or Buck Showalter. But the difference is those guys have stayed in the Major League Baseball. They know how to talk to these kids. Joe Maddon knows how to talk to these kids. Like, these guys, you bring in some old guy that has not been a part of baseball in forever, it's a different day. These kids can actually be themselves now. They don't have to be machines. They don't have to be robots. The Major League Baseball wants them to flip the bat. They want them to turn their cap, I mean. Of course, turn their head. It'd probably be a pretty tough game to play without being able to turn your head. But yeah, they want that now. Joe Maddon is tailor-made for that. He's also a big name. It gives you that. But I don't see that happening. I just thought it was a fun name to throw out there. And I give Seth the credit for that one. I don't like to keep you too long, sir. I know you're busy. But any names that you do want to throw out there, or any final thoughts?
Well, I think Gabe Kapler could be a good name to throw out there. Mm-hmm. I can't think of the other guy they talked about. He actually played with Craig. Coached to Craig. Oh, shoot. I can't think about what his name was, but
Paul Mowler.
Me after I could hang up the phone.
Robin Yao.
No, not Paul Mowler.
Jim Gattner.
No, he...
just going to start throwing names out there. Just going
Cecil Cooper. I mean,
there you go. There you go.
I mean, yeah, well, Cecil Gattner, I mean, he had a scent with the Astros a little bit, too. So.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I don't know. I mean, that's been kind of the question even after the season got done. You know, everybody's like, well, Council doesn't come back. Who's going to be the coach?
Yeah.
And nobody could really come up with a decent, you know, a good name to put out there, you know, as the coach for the Brewers.
Always good to talk to you, man. Thanks a lot for the call.
Yes, guys. You have a great week.
You too. Take care. One of our best. We appreciate you, man. I've been looking at this list for a long time, Randy, as far as the possible replacements. Because I thought that Craig Council was just going to not retire, but take a year or two off. It really kind of felt like that, the tea leaves, if you're reading them, the way it seemed. That's kind of what I thought was going to happen. So I kind of been thinking that Milwaukee was going to have a new manager come 23-24. So I've been looking at this list and these names. But more so, before we get too far down that road, I haven't heard your thoughts on this, Yellen, yet.
Well, I was just thinking of the places to go. Maybe one of the places that, if he's going to leave Milwaukee, why Chicago makes sense is because they have the ability to bring in, you know, the star players.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got one son going to be playing at the University of Michigan and one being playing at the University of Minnesota, so he's still between the two.
I love that, yes.
Not like money's a big deal to travel from New York, but just being in the vicinity, you know, and he's still close to home of Whitefish Bay is where he grew up.
Yes.
You know, so in that way, geography-wise,
I want so badly for him in his opening presser. That's his first answer. That's his whole answer. That's why. Like, it just came down to geography.
Yeah.
Let's take a phone call. Good afternoon. You're on the show.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, guy. How you doing, man?
Hey, how are you guys doing this afternoon?
We're good. We're rolling. How are you doing?
Well, I love the fact you're talking baseball, but one name that I think you might have left out is Jonathan Lucroy.
Oh, yes. That's a good call. Lucroy's been he's been managing for a little while now, right?
I can see him being, you know.
Well, here's the thing. The Yankee or the Mets just signed as their manager
bench coach, Carlos Mendoza.
Mendoza. And who signed the manager? The Voit.
Cleveland.
Cleveland. Thank you, Randy. Cleveland just signed a guy that was he just retired 5 minutes ago. The Marlins guy that they hired, it hasn't been too long since he's been playing. Baseball's been doing this, where they've been grabbing guys after a couple of seasons. Lucroy wouldn't be a bad fit, actually. A good manager.
You know, isn't that how Council kind of did it?
I believe so.
You know, I think he was a catcher and a third baseman, and he came up. But, we're talking baseball. I have a bunch of stats to drop for you guys, if you're okay.
All right, let's do it.
Bryson Stott was snubbed from getting a gold glove.
In
favor of a Chicago Cub.
It's true. Yeah, it's true.
I got another fun fact. Nolan Ryan is the longest pitcher to ever play. He played for 27 years.
What? Really? Nolan?
And did he never win a Cy Young either?
Oh, I don't think he did.
He had seven no-nos.
Yeah, and I don't think he ever won a Cy Young, if I remember correctly.
And I that wouldn't surprise me. Yeah, Nolan Ryan never.
We're going from baseball. I just want to say something about the Packers, if you don't mind me.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, the Packers won yesterday. You know who else won yesterday? The Vikings.
Yes, they did.
And Josh Dobbs is the first quarterback in NFL history to have three touchdowns with two different teams in the same week.
It's incredible. It's an incredible stat. It's an incredible sport.
It was like Tuesday or something where he introduced himself to his center. And little did they know he'd be under him.
They didn't even know his name.
No, they had to introduce each other.
The coach, that's some amazing, we don't say this very often. That's some great coaching, too, by Minnesota, because you can actually see the coach, telling him, play calls and stuff, and just, and then going out there, and then running it and doing it.
Yeah.
And
it's like playground, drawing your play in the dirt.
Yeah.
If you got fourth and seven, just run like a dog.
The NFL. Yeah, right. The NFL is the NFL's all worried right now because scoring is down all across the market and everything. And when last time this happened, they tend to usually make rule changes. So be on the lookout for that in the offseason. But they just need more Josh Dobbs. They just need more Dobbs in the NFL. Like these.
It's a great I don't want to say it's like a comeback story, but it almost is.
Yeah,
isn't that crazy?
Boy. Always good talking to you, man. Thanks for the call.
All right, man. You guys take care.
You
always
too.
Good talking to you on Monday.
You as well.
Yeah. Always look forward to it too, man. 424-2600, 715-424-2600 at 3:30. We'll take our break and come back with GM and head coach of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, Coach Paul, going to join us.
That's really interesting, though. Now the debate can go on who they're going to get. You know, other names out there: Luke Fickell, Matt DeLapay, Matt LaFleur. There's options.
It's interesting to go down this lane because, like I said, I've been looking at this for a while, Randy. And what's even funnier to me is some of these names, I've got their baseball cards. Like, I see Walt Weiss, Kevin Seitzer, some of these guys. Clayton McCullough, we just saw them playing. I don't know who the guy is going to be, and I have a feeling that it's probably not going to be a name that any of us recognize unless you're very familiar with the organization. I feel like they're probably going to keep close to home on this one. This may, unfortunately, give Milwaukee an opportunity to kind of start a true rebuild. I don't know. You got both pitchers as question marks.
Miley's gone.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean,
and I love Wade Miley.
I really liked him. Yeah. Oh, he was a lot of fun.
Woodruff's gone for next year, more than likely, with a shoulder injury.
You know, what they have done in the last six, seven seasons is remarkable.
It is.
Even going back to the CC Sabathia trade, going back to there even, it's just remarkable what they have done as a team. And I think most importantly, and maybe I'm grasping at straws here and everything, but I can't help it. The Brewers are going to continue to play in Milwaukee. There's the Marcana situation. Canna situation. I always mess up his last name.
I think he's going to be gone too, isn't he?
They just traded for him. Let me see. Where did I put that? The Brewers traded over the weekend for the Marcana from Detroit.
Oh, I'm thinking of Canna for that Canna. We had this year.
Oh, okay.
And I think I saw he lost.
Yeah, Brewers traded for outfielder first baseman Marcana from Detroit for Blake Holub. And that's a nice bat to bring in, a versatile player. So I really thought that was going to be one of the headlines we were talking about really today, was bringing in this guy that not a lot of people know of. I didn't see the whole council thing coming. Didn't know that, but it is what it is. I'm curious, where we go from here. If you're a Brewer fan, what you're going to do?
If someone would ask me what my opinion was before we found out the news, I would have said if he doesn't come back to Milwaukee, he sits out for a year or two just so he could follow his sons. Because that's a huge thing as a dad, having that opportunity. And this kind of surprised me. I didn't think he'd go to the Mets, just personally. I just thought, there's that New York media and he's just kind of a more small town guy, but. Seriously, I just think with the Cubs, he's got more money available and he's still close to home. Those are two positives for him.
And I think both sides needed a change of pace. I really do. I think both sides needed a new voice in the clubhouse. He needed a new clubhouse. It isn't – sometimes there are no villains. Sometimes there's no bad guy. It's just people. It's just situations.
You know, and the thing was, I think after they won the division, and they were celebrating when they didn't win that day, but they got in.
Yeah.
You know, they're doing the interviews afterwards, and they're just almost to a T. Every person that talked spoke highly of Craig Counsell and what he has done with those kids and what he's done with the team and the players themselves, you know, how they enjoyed playing for him and things, and never heard somebody say a bad word about him. So now it'll be interesting. Now do you go with experience, someone who's, like we were saying, older, earlier, someone who's older, or do you go with somebody who's younger, maybe just fresh, somebody more the player's age, somebody in their 40s maybe? I don't know. That's some options they'll have to pursue.
Curious about another thing, what you said there, Randy, that nobody's ever said a bad thing about him. Come opening night, the first opening game between the Cubs and the Brewers.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like that might change. That may change. The other part that's fascinating to me about this, too, is I think about this, and when the news broke, one of the first thoughts I had was, well, if the Brewers and him, he was not coming back to Milwaukee, that was a given. Okay, well, I want to keep managing. There's only so many jobs. There's only 32 of these jobs. You got to take one of them. But then I look at the opening gigs. Like, yes, the California Angels of Anaheim, of Santa Cruz, of Santa Barbara, of, you know, Oakland. that team, they have a job opening. And who knows with the Ohtani situation, Mike Trout's and his injuries. So, okay, maybe that's not the most coveted gig.
I know you have to live in California, so that's out.
Right. Well, you got to lose. I mean, losing in California ain't so bad. But then there's the Houston gig. Just in the World Series. The San Diego job, where at the very least, you know, the manager is going to, or the owner is going to pay, he's just going to spend money. There's a lot of nice gigs open still. As far as I know, he was not a manager, or, well, he didn't even interview for this gig. So I don't know.
Do you think personally being a Midwest guy had anything to do with it at all or not?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think it definitely did. Seth had brought up that he thought if he wasn't going to be in New York, possibly Cleveland, in part because of what you just said there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of why when he said that, it was like, yeah, even though I already had the knowledge in my brain that he just signed with the Cubs, it made so much sense for him to be in Cleveland. That's a perfect fit for him. I don't think that he wanted the New York market. I don't think he wanted the L.A. market, the California market. I do think that he wanted that. And as funny as it may sound, Randy, I actually think that that you hit on something very important in the geography of this. I really do think that came into play on this one. It's interesting. We are going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to come back. We got a little time with our good friend, GM and head coach of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, Coach Paul, going to join us in a few right here on Playmakers, WFHR. Playmakers proudly brought to you by our good friends over at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers, proudly brought to you by our good friends over at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here at WFHR. Got your host, James. I am joined by Randy Paul, and we are joined right now by head coach and GM of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, Paul Peckham. Coach, how you doing?
Doing great, man. How are you?
Doing good. Doing good. Good to see you. Thanks a lot for being here right now.
Great to see you back at home.
Yes.
Yeah, thanks.
You guys are talking during the break and everything, and it's just remarkable to me. I don't know how many times we have this happen where a team hasn't had a home game in so long, and we're going on quite a while here for the team. Give us an update, Coach, on the weekend and how things have been for the team in the past week or two.
I tell you what, this past weekend was probably the best we've played.
Mm.
Just a tremendous weekend. Taking 3 out of 4 points up in the Blue Ox. It's not an easy task. And I thought the boys really rose to the occasion and played the best hockey so far. So now they blew their cover, and that's what's expected of them going forward, right? So we can play with anybody in this league as long as we play the right way. So. I'm excited to see what we do this weekend here. I'm expecting big things and continue to move on into the showcase next week in Detroit.
And the West has been tough so far.
Yeah.
The West is a dogfight. I mean, every team can beat any team on any given night. So if you're not ready to play, you're going to get smacked in the face, and you better be prepared.
With hockey especially, wins and losses can be misleading. You look at the points. You look at those points and everything, and that's where you see a lot of what you're talking about there, Coach. These teams are very close, very evenly matched talent-wise, and a lot of it does come down to coaching and how you're pushing these guys and how you're motivating them and that. We touched on this already before, but now that we are finally this close to our first home game of the season, I'm curious, how did it go between motivating them on the road and what you wanted to do on paper and how it actually played out?
Well, whenever you go on a road, the minimum what you're shooting for is at least a split, right? You want to get two. So twice we've come away with 3 out of 4.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, that's a bonus.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned. So how do you motivate them? It's just, you take certain aspects of what we're working on and just really hone in on that, make sure we're doing that. And a lot of it comes from how well do you play without the puck? Yeah. How well are you playing in your own zone, right? And that is our key. We have the lowest goals against in our division. So to me, I've always been that way in the way I coach for over 15 years now at this level. And it's, you can't win any games if you don't have a good defense, right? And everybody knows championships are won by defense. Right, but nobody coaches it, nobody preaches it, and these guys are really honing in on that, and that's really what we talk about a lot.
Can I do something that you're never supposed to do in sports talk radio? Apologize for a question. That was a very lame question. I talked to you. I talked to your coaching staff. I talked to these players not even a month ago. They don't need motivation. These guys eat, sleep, breathe this sport. They love this sport. That's how a lot of hockey players are. They don't. I guess more so what I should have been thinking was is you're on the road so much. How you guys stay focused on not only winning, not only hockey, but the task at hand. Like, it seems like it's tougher on the road than it is at home, is it?
Not necessarily, because when you're on the road, you're always together.
Right on. Okay.
Right? So you're, and the way that I have it scheduled, the itinerary is every Saturday morning, we usually go into a college tour. We're doing a visit.
Mm-hmm.
We're meeting with coaches. We're going to facilities. We're doing all that. So we're doing it as a group. And that's just another voice for them to hear on what their goals are, right? That's why they're here, to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you tend to be a little more focused when you're on the road. Right?
Interesting.
Because I'm always right there,
chiming in
their ears.
Makes
right?
sense.
So when you're home, you're kind of a little more relaxed, and you get you sleeping in your own bed and that kind of thing, right? So that's, again, it's just the little team meetings that we have at the hotels and stuff like that, and the talks we have before games, and that's really how you just keep them focused. They're kids, right? They're teenagers, so the more you say it, hopefully some of it sticks, right?
You pepper the net, right? You pepper the net.
It's like spaghetti. You throw it against the wall, see what sticks, and you go with it. Yep.
Something's got to land.
You know, you bring up the fact that you go to these different colleges. Does one stick out in your mind as, boy, that was like a top-notch visit at a top-notch school that really stood out to you above the rest?
Well, I mean, the biggest school that we've gone to right now is University of Minnesota, right? So, I mean, that's a beautiful, beautiful school, beautiful campus, the facilities. Some of the other schools right now, I think St. Olaf's is a beautiful campus. The coach was tremendous to us. Same with Bethel. Chris did a great job talking to the boys. Just a couple of them. We went to Augsburg just last weekend, so we've seen 8 schools so far.
Very cool.
We'll go to River Falls, which is a beautiful school. Steve Freeman, a coach over there, did a great job last year, so hopefully we can connect again. It just depends with their schedule. They might be in the road, right? So we're going to go, and we're going to tour the school, and we're going to look at the facilities. Now, whether or not we get a hold of the coach just depends on their schedule, too, so...
You mentioned this before, Coach. This Friday, opening day, home opener, we are going to be having the Dell's Ducks come into town. That's 7:00 at Southwick County Rec Center. Get your tickets and show them what home ice advantage is. What are your thoughts on the Ducks so far this season? It's a young season, and they're standings-wise, they're at the bottom of the standings in 8th place. They're pretty low on the standings, but points, again, coming back to the points, not that big of a difference between them and the top right there. So not a bad team from what I haven't seen them play, but from everything I've been seeing on paper and the box score, doesn't seem like a bad team.
No, I think they're improved, and there's somebody that can nip at your heels and bite you when you're not looking, right? So if you don't pay attention, we got to just be focused. any given night, anybody can beat anybody, right? So we got to play our best and be disciplined. They tend to do some things that probably aren't as disciplined, and we just got to make sure we don't fall into that category and just play our game.
When it comes to the guys this season, we've had some real standout players, some real standout play. Is there anything you're excited about going forward? I know that you love every one of these kids, but anybody that's standing out right now just at this point in the season for you?
Well, I think the Hungarians, you know, you got Zoran Varga and David Gisemi and now Sean LeCompte that we just brought on board and just played this past weekend. I'm excited to watch those guys gel and get that chemistry going. They're very skilled guys. Owen Tudich and Matt Hill and Jake Bright. I mean, we have a lot of talent. I mean, and it's just, you know, guys fall and have their strengths and their weaknesses. Mm-hmm. And as a coach, that's your job is to try to put those pieces together. I mean, there's a lot of guys that are starting to play well, which obviously you don't shut out the Ox unless everybody's running on all cylinders, right? So I'm excited, though. Our goaltending board just got named goalie of the month, right? So, I mean, that's four times already in this short season. Our goaltenders have been nominated. Now I'd like to see some of the other guys, right? Defensively, I think from top to bottom we're playing very well. Lucas Whitehead, William Chouse, James Dubel. You got the two Canadians, Beauchamp and Bonin and Will Harmon. We're solid. I like what we got. I really think that if we continue and just stay the course and keep working hard and getting better, we got a shot at something here. So
It's fun, Coach, just watching you talk. I can see that little grin on your face. I think you're excited about this year.
I am. You know, to be, you're 9-3-2 on the road.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not easy to do. And I'm very proud of them, I know what's ahead. And you know, you can get sucked into that too, right? And you lose some points that you can't afford to. Mm-hmm. So I just hope we stay focused here and keep working. But I like what we got here.
When it comes to that excitement about this season and everything, when you start, you're getting these guys together. You're a couple months ago. You're having some practices. You're looking at that schedule. It seems months off because it technically is, but it seems so far off as far as that home opener. But we're finally here, just days away from it and everything. What is it like in the locker room right now?
They're excited. Yeah. I mean, they're so excited. You know, a lot of them, most of them, haven't experienced, you know, playing in any kind of community like this. So it's the returners that are trying to, you know, stay in their ear and get so fired up. And the fact that we have the special military jerseys and all that stuff here. So and that's a reminder too. I use that a lot. You know, people are paying their hard-earned money to come watch us play here. We got to make sure that we're prepared and put on the show, and we got to be our best. And that you can't just switch that on like a light switch, right? I mean, you got to practice all week, and you play the way you practice, as far as I'm concerned. That's why I'm on them tough and during the week, so that, you know, the games are the fun part, right?
Yeah.
So you got to put in the work during the week.
I appreciate that about you. Appreciate that you get that you approach it that way. I think it's part of the reason, as we're wrapping up our conversation, we know how busy you are, Coach. I did want to mention this. I have to mention this, that we have the MVP award celebration coming up on November 16th. Encourage people to get their tickets for that. It's one of our favorite area events. We get to celebrate a lot of our area sports, you know, people and people that mean a lot to us in our community. And I'm looking at the list of names of the people that are nominated this year, Randy, and I see our good friend Bob Brickhauser is on there, very deservingly.
Absolutely.
Incredible man, incredible gentleman, joins us on the air here all the time. We've talked recently with Brian Wendt from the Rapids Raptors youth football and cheer and Rams, does a lot of great work there. John Kronmacher just recently joined us not too long ago. Talk a little bit about the Rapids Redhawks and the success that they have had recently and the success of that team. And then I see Paul Peckman, Wisconsin Rapids River Kings GM head coach out there. Coach, you just got here. Like, you just got here, man. Like, you're already getting nominated. No, I'm joking. But it's so deserving. And I saw that name, like, that fits. That fits on there. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Very deserving to see your name on this list. And I say that jokingly, but as a lead-in, you have been here only a couple of years, and to see the community like immediately recognize this about you, what does it feel like?
I'm humbled and very appreciative. You know, it's not about me. You know, it's about these kids and it's about this community, right? So all I am is just the, you know, I'm the in-between guy. And I'm just about helping these kids turn into men and helping out in the society and in our community. And, you know, I'm glad that everybody appreciates that and that this is the way that this organization is and that's the way we're run. And, you know, I'm excited about it.
And
I appreciate being nominated.
You know, last year, Coach came over to the center and just met for the first time. And I think when I came back and saw James, I said, "We got a guy."
Yeah.
And we were right.
We appreciate you, Coach. We're so excited about Friday this weekend. We're going to be talking about it all week on our shows.
Thank you.
I'm going to make darn sure that we got a great home ice advantage for this one. And not just this one, but all season long.
Thank you.
We certainly want to remind everybody that you can catch home River Kings games on our sister station, Wiz Country 105.5 WIRI. Get them over there and man, stream that. Stream it. Stream it even if you're at the game. Stream it. Like, get a ratings up there and stuff. And make sure that they're high up there because we're excited to have this partnership. And thank you. Appreciate this partnership with you guys. Appreciate you and Ashley, all the work you guys have done behind the scenes to make this. We've really enjoyed, since you've been in town here, you joining us on the air. We'll make this a little more official going forward, having this kind of I was talking to my dad about this, and like, "Dad, I'd like to have a name for the coaches segment that we got with Coach and everything. I think it'd be cool." And he's like, "Well, what about the fourth period?" I was like, "Oh, that's not bad. It's not bad. I like that." Like an hour later, he's like, "Jimmy, that's overtime." So we'll figure it out. We'll see. Between my dad and I, maybe we'll come up with a name. But more importantly, we appreciate the consistency of you joining us, the transparency, the amount of fun that we have on this show, and information that we get that nobody else does. Appreciate you, Coach.
No, thank you. Appreciate you having me.
Well, we're looking forward to this game. I want to remind everybody that the 2023 MVP Award Celebration is going on November 16th. Be sure to get your tickets for this one. You can RSVP or just go ahead and get a hold of them at marketing@visitwisrapids.com. And of course, get your tickets, find out all about your River Kings at riverkingshockey.com, riverkingshockey.com. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more. Wrap up the show. Here are Playmakers on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to Playmakers here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Hope your afternoon is treating you good. Sure is here. We just got to talk baseball, talk to Coach. That was great.
And now, just to top it all off, tons of high school sports.
We got tons of high school local coverage that you will not find better local coverage than from our own Randy Paul. What do you got for us, Randy?
Well, there were four state champions crowned in boys soccer down in Milwaukee this past Saturday. In Division I, Middleton wins a shootout 4-2 after a 1-1 tie in regulation and a scoreless overtime as they upset top-seeded Brookfield East. In Division II, a couple of one-timers at state as Union Grove outshot West Appear 13-4, and yet it ended up a 1-0 blanking of the Phantoms. Division III, Belleville New Glarus making their first state appearance upended second-seed Plymouth 4-1. And in Division IV, for the second time in as many visits to state, Shoreland Lutheran wins the title as they shut out St. Mary's Catholic 2-0. James, kind of a quick little note for you. Not too long ago, one of my former students, they now are at Shoreland Lutheran teaching there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Isn't that
cool? It's a small world.
Absolutely.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. The Girls and Boys State Volleyball Championships were also held this past Saturday. They were over in Green Bay at the Rest Center. And let's start off first for the girls in Division I, top-ranked Divine Savior Holy Angels. That's a mouthful.
Wow, yeah.
They won their second straight championship and fifth overall as they ousted Oconomowoc in five sets. Division II, defending state champion Appleton Xavier defended its crown with a straight set victory over McFarland. D3 saw a four-time defending state champion Howards Grove get upset by St. Croix Falls in five sets. The fifth set ended 15-13.
Ooh.
Whoa.
Oh.
How heartbreaking and how exhilarating at the same time.
Yes, yeah.
And in Division IV, Newman Catholic led two sets to none And then up top-seeded Waniwak Center rallied to clip the Cardinals 3-2 as they came back to win the final three. For the boys, there's only one division in volleyball, and that saw top seed Middleton win their first championship in 14 tries as they knocked off Arrowhead in five sets as well. I watched a little bit of that one. It's pretty thrilling as well. Wow. High school football level three action took place this past Friday. Some of the games of interest, first in Division One, Nina's fourth down pass from inside the 10 fell incomplete as Kimberly holds off the Rockets 14-7. And this one was kind of surprising. I don't know if there was injuries or something happened, but top-ranked Muskego falls to second-ranked and undefeated Franklin 35-7. I know Franklin got 21 points in that final quarter, but wow.
Still,
that's a shocker. Division 2, Kaukauna clobbered Cedarburg 42-13. From Division 3, third-ranked Green Bay Notre Dame stopped number 2 seed Mount Horeb at Barneveld 26-21. Division 4 saw top-ranked Two Rivers upset at home by Luxembourg Casco 24-21. In Division 5, Wrightstown fell behind 9-0 before reeling off 41 unanswered points to get the upset win over Whitburn 41-9. Also, number 1 Lacrosse Aquinas clipped second-ranked Columbus 20-13. Division 6 saw number 1 Auburndale lose to number 2 Stratford 40-7. Boy, the Tigers are tough.
Yeah, man, they are.
Division 7 top-ranked Boyceville hosted Edgar and found out just how tough the Wildcats are. And I think they're a little bit upset they were the number 2 seed compared to Boyceville number 1.
Motivation.
Yeah, 52-26. Are you ready for these stats?
Oh.
Okay, ready? Carter Butt ran for 6 touchdowns, had 317 yards rushing on 37 attempts, had 2 two-point conversions, and he threw an 18-yard touchdown pass. But other than that, he didn't do much for the Cats.
Who does this kid think he is? Taysom Hill? Come on. Now, what,
wow.
That's a heck of a stat line.
That's a year.
That's a year. Some people's career stats.
Wow.
It's my career stats.
Way to go. Man, Carter, you're awesome. And in eight-player football, the finals are now set for this Saturday, 1 p.m. right here in Wisconsin Rapids. Mm-hmm. Fourth-ranked Florence will face off against number 10 Thorpe.
Going to be an exciting one. Make sure to turn out for that one, everybody.
Yeah. So a lot of excitement. A couple of state champions now crowned, and we'll be going to level 4 of high school football, and then it's off to state the following Saturday, or Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I guess. Yeah.
Really looking forward to seeing how this shakes out. Thank you so much for the update, Randy. Appreciate it.
Excited.
Nice work. Let's go ahead and take a phone call. Good morning. You're on the show. Good afternoon. I was going to do it once. Good afternoon. You're on the show.
Good afternoon again. I mentioned, or I heard Coach mention a fella they have on the River Kings named Beauchamp. And I was thinking of, isn't there a Milwaukee Buck, Marjon Beauchamp, and what is he up to?
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
Also, I it's kind of a weird segue, but are they still having the Cranberry Classic basketball tournament?
They are.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, and that'll be on Friday and Saturday. And, yeah, we're going to try to cover some of those games as best as possible. I'll try to remember who's playing here for for the boys. Assumption, of course, Port Edwards, Nakusa, and I believe Columbus Catholic.
Yes.
And
yeah.
Then,
okay.
And then,
yeah, I figure you guys always have the coverage of it. Yep. But, I just figure as long as you're talking hoops, Randy, yeah. I figured I'd bring it up.
Yeah, and we're going to try to start already next week Thursday. So that's only 10 days away, too.
Yeah, we've got the classic coming up November 24th.
Yep,
coming up in just
Saturday.
A couple weeks here. Yeah,
I think the girls have Wyoming too in there.
Thanksgiving weekend, I think.
Yep,
isn't it?
Yep. Or it is always the day after Thanksgiving, the following 2 days.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll be looking forward to it. I just figured I'd throw it out there.
Thank you.
You guys have a good one. Huh? Yeah.
You too. Always good to talk to you, man. We'll talk more next week. 424-2600, call up and join the conversation. You want to talk about the Brewers, talk a little bit of Packers, you want to talk anything, we'll talk with you about it. As long as it's sports-related, go ahead and call up and join the conversation.
You know, speaking of sports-related and speaking of Packers, you know, they won that game yesterday, but there was one interesting game that took place this weekend, and it was with Houston and C.J. Stroud.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, did he put up some numbers this weekend, right? I'm trying to remember. He was 30 for 42 for 470 yards and 3 touchdowns. And he led a 75-yard drive in the last 40 seconds. The game winner was 6 seconds left.
I can't imagine how Carolina's got to be feeling right now.
Because they picked
I mean,
first, right?
Yeah, yeah. They not only that they traded up, they traded their future basically to move up to get that kid. They had
Alabama, yeah.
And everybody was telling. To be fair, almost everybody was telling him to go take the kid from Alabama. But C.J. Stroud's got one pick, like 12 touchdowns, one pick, something like that. It's an incredible year so far. I mean, if he doesn't, if he keeps even like some of this up, he's going to be Rookie of the Year, a shoo-in. Right.
Yeah.
And that's saying something nowadays with some of these rookies and some of the great rookie offensive players you got out there this year.
Boy, it's interesting, again, how many quarterbacks are injured again, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, I was just looking at the stats of all the different games, and I'm seeing names I've never even heard of who are the quarterback for these teams, and it's just like, wow.
I
appreciate when they stay healthy.
You and I love this game. And we've been watching it our whole lives. We know these players inside and out. We know them from college inside and out. Most between Randy and I, we could probably go through almost every NFL roster and name you the first, second, third, you know, wide receiver, tight end, that kind of thing. Who's Tune? The kid quarterbacking Arizona. Who is this guy?
Clayton Tune.
Who's Clayton Tune? Yeah. I've never heard of this kid.
I bet they wish they'd have kept their backup quarterback.
Yeah, I bet they do. But
he had 53 yards passing yesterday. They rushed for 41 yards. They didn't have 100 yards of total offense.
The amount, like, what is going, the way that some of these NFL franchises are run, like, I know I complain about the Bears and McCaskies and blah, 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 and all that, but you look at some of the reporting that's gone on in the last week since our last show. And Arizona, they couldn't be more blatant about trying to, you know, get the first pick in the NFL draft and all that. But what I think is even more surprising, what is more interesting, is Las Vegas. This firing that they have done of their GM and their head coach, $84 million this is going to cost them. I don't care how bad of a coach he is. We got to fire this guy. He's a horrible coach. Sir, it's going to cost you $84 million. You know what? Let's give him a chance. Let's see this how this goes. Let's let it breathe a little bit.
What's a mere $84 million amongst friends?
What, man? And then I'm supposed to believe that these owners, like, so sorry for them that they can't make a buck. That, you know, that it's so hard to run these franchises and, that, you know, that the amount of money that they have to spend. Well, that's why ticket prices are going up and all these things like that. So I got to pay more for my ticket because you can't do your job, because you can't hire good management, because you can't hire a good GM. So now the ticket prices are going to go up in Vegas like skyrocket next year. And it's all because of their wonderful owner with the worst haircut in human history. Human history. Nobody has ever had a worse haircut than Davis over there in Las Vegas.
Boy, I'll tell you, at some point, they're going to just price themselves out, aren't they?
I mean,
they have to. I mean, the NFL in general.
Yeah, you're right. Yes,
I mean,
yes.
Even us small market Wisconsinites, and I know that waiting list is forever, but phew.
Well, it's so crazy to me to think of how this continues to happen too. Arizona, Las Vegas. I mean, there's plenty of franchises, and not just even in football, where that the way the Houston Rockets, like, I mean, the way some of these franchises are run, the decisions that are made, and who pays the price? It ain't the owners. The owners. If you don't like this game. And you want to get out of it. You're like, maybe it is. Okay, let's give them the benefit of the doubt. It is tough to make a buck as an owner of a sports team. Well, then, I guess I have to sell my team and then make $6 billion more than when I paid for it.
Or I'll have to move to another market that can support us, right?
Yeah,
and they'll build us a stadium at taxpayers' dollars. And
there's no accountability. There's no they can't be punished for these decisions, for these failures that they make time and time again.
Got this money. It sounds fun. Let's have a franchise.
Must be nice. Must be nice, man. I did want to quickly touch on the details, and we'll touch on more on this as we get closer to Thanksgiving. The Assumption High School 39th Annual Cranberry Classic. Thank you, Pam, to getting us to this. Friday, November 24th, Saturday, November 25th at Assumption High School. Girls and boys, varsity and JV basketball. Games kick off at 9 a.m., and you're going to be there all day. You're going to be there all day. You're going to have great food down there. Always good stuff. You're going to be watching basketball and eating good and hanging out with some great people. Participating varsity girls teams, Assumption, Columbus Catholic, Nakusa, and as you guys mentioned, you and our caller, Wyoega Fremont, going to be there. And for the boys team, Assumption, Columbus Catholic, Nakusa, and Port Edwards.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun.
And it'll be, you know, the first game, I believe, that we're looking at doing that for the Friday night game would be, I believe it's Port Edwards against Assumption. And then, of course, you've got Nakusa facing off against Columbus Catholic for the boys. So then one of the teams will be either Port Edwards or Assumption will win that game, and then they would face either Nakusa or Columbus Catholic. So chances are probably pretty good that we'll try to cover those two 8 o'clock games on Friday and Saturday for sure, and we'll see what schedules allow, but maybe we'll sneak in a girls game too.
I hope so.
But speaking of sneaking in a girls game, we're hoping to do that a week from this Thursday.
Yeah.
As Newman Catholic, speaking of them having that great volleyball run, they'll be in town to take on the Assumption Royals girls basketball squad, so... Wow, it's hard to believe it's only 10 days away.
It's so exciting. These Assumption girls, I already like high school basketball. I love the boys girls game, just like basketball. But these girls, man, they've just gotten me. I didn't even go to Assumption, and because my brother did, I have some like this little loose tie, so I just kind of cannot get enough of their ball. I hope that they and Waiuiga kind of actually pair up in the Cranberry. I'd like to see that. I'd like to see how they play against Waiuiga. I'd like to hear how that going goes. I'm very excited about the season. It's going to be a really fun basketball season ahead, and looking forward to bringing you a lot of great coverage of it.
And you know, you mentioned before that one of the coaches, Paul Peckman, is going to be nominated for that award, as was Bob Berkhauser. Be interesting to find out of those 39 years if Bob has been involved in all 39 of those.
Oh,
I'm
wow.
going to have to
yeah.
dig that up and find
Do
out.
Me, yeah, get some reporting on yeah, that one. Yeah, I look forward to that. Looking forward to what we got on your radio dial tonight. Oh, I love being able to say this. 6 o'clock tonight, Wisconsin men's basketball. The boys taking on Arkansas State. Big Ten basketball is back. Very exciting. Tomorrow, Greg Gard show at 6:05. So he'll talk a little Wisconsin basketball and talk about that opening game and how things are going for the team, what he expects. 7:05, Luke Fickell show. Very interested to hear what Coach has to say about the horrible loss to Indiana.
Ouch.
There's no other way to word it. It's a building year.
They're missing their entire starting backfield. Got to keep that in mind, too.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You don't have a quarterback. You don't have two running backs and a wide receiver. That's tough.
And what I like is this isn't a coach that makes excuses, so it'll be very interesting to hear what he has to say. We've got Wisconsin men's basketball hosting Tennessee at 7 o'clock on Friday, and on our sister station, WIRI, at 6:59, River Kings hockey versus the Dells Ducks. Mark Lochner, Seth, going to be doing that one. It's going to be a lot of fun. Randy, been a lot of fun hanging out with you. Thank you.
Always is.
Appreciate Coach Peckham joining us, and all of you for joining us on the airwaves. We'll be back next Monday. More Playmakers 3 to 4, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, right here at...
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.